When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Squiggly Careers podcast. I'm Sarah, one of the founders of Amazing If, and I'm here with Helen, my co-founder.
Hello everyone.
And this podcast is designed to help you develop the skills that you need to be successful in a squiggly career. I think sometimes we assume everyone knows what we mean when we say squiggly career.
You know, that squiggly career thing that we're all just having all the time.
Which I think people do. Intuitively, when you say squiggly, people kind of get that that means that careers are becoming, I guess, they're changing more frequently. We're all changing roles more frequently. There is just so much change, I think, happening for us and to us, that idea of a career ladder that perhaps some of us thought we would be climbing is rapidly disappearing. And what we really want to help people do is really think about your career, you know, how you're spending your time in your career, what are the things you want to do and how you can get there, and make it as practical and action focused as possible, so that you hopefully listen to these podcasts and can go away and do things differently tomorrow, next week, next month. So that's what we really hope we're kind of achieving with this podcast, and we love to hear from you. So if you're following us on Instagram, you know, if you're on LinkedIn with us, please do let us know what you think of the podcast, what you're finding most useful, what you'd love us to improve. There's actually a really good way of doing feedback on things, which I'm not sure we've talked about before on the podcast, and this is just a really extra kind of helpful hint and tip for today. If you are doing feedback on things, it's really good to use something called WWW EBI, which is what went well, even better if. So we would love to know for our podcast,
coaching people on how to give us feedback.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. In the format we've just given you, what's going well about this podcast for you? What's most useful? What's the bits you always remember? And if you could think of one thing where it would be even better if we did something, please let us know what that is, whether it's the length of the podcast, whether it's the content, whether it's the style, just one thing that would make it even better for you. We would love to know what you think.
So today,
on to today's topic. So today is a bit of a back to school theme. So it's September. Hopefully most people have managed to have a break over the summer. Helen and I are actually going on holiday in the first week of September.
Yeah.
We're waiting for everyone else to come back from holiday so that we can go. So we're hoping that people are listening to us probably just as we're coming back from holiday.
Yeah.
So we thought this is often a bit of a reset moment for people in terms of you're sort of three quarters of the way through the year, your January New Year's resolutions are a distant memory. And often in January, we make all these resolutions about work, what we want to do differently. And it's often about now where you think, oh no, I've maybe not spent the time doing these things that I was hoping for. So today we're going to take you through five ideas of things you can do to sort of recharge, reset, kickstart spending a bit more time on your career and your career development. So going to go through each one at a time, give you some practical ideas, loads of resources and links today, and also share a bit of our experiences of kind of how we've done each of these things. So are you ready?
Yes,
you ready,
we're ready.
I feel like we're doing Top of the Pops for people who are old enough. You know, like the countdown where it's like, do, 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 in at number one.
Can you continue that for the rest of the podcast?
Yeah, but I can't quite remember the whole tune. No, but
in at number one is fine. That sounds a bit like Bullseye, though. Also an old reference.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving on.
So in at number one, which now sounds really boring based on that. Set your objectives. But that is our first tip in terms of it's September, you're three quarters of the year. However you do this within your organisation, just spend the time thinking about what have you achieved so far? What are your objectives until the end of the year? Have you been really clear about those objectives? And actually, have you had a really good conversation with your manager about those to make sure they're not just things that you think you should be spending your time doing, they're also things that are the right things for the organisation, the right things for your team?
And I think it's really easy with objectives as well. You set them at the beginning of the year, whatever, you know, some people's beginning of the year, Microsoft, for example, it's July, some people it's January, but you set them at the beginning of the year because it's kind of the process that you have to follow in your company. And then you're like, brilliant, that's done until the end of the year. But actually, I love objective setting. And I think we've had conversations, oh, Sarah's just laughing at me, but you have said in your new role that actually, like, how important objectives are becoming. And I just think it's a really useful thing for you to just have a look at, actually, over the next 3 months. Like, don't make it like this cut thing you have to do in your job because your manager says. Actually, take ownership for it and spend some time setting your objectives. Even if you don't have this process in your company, just sit down for yourself and say, for the next 3 months, what is it that I really, really want to achieve? And there are a couple of frameworks that are useful. So I can talk about in Microsoft, when we have a really good process called Connects, and which is where we kind of look at our objectives and do a bit of reflection. So the framework that we use is, we do looking back. So what have I achieved in the period since I last looked at my objectives? So you do a kind of bit of looking back. What would I do differently? So that's just a bit of an opportunity to look at any kind of reflection. Then we have going forward. So what are the 3, 4, 5 things I'm really going to focus on over the period? And for you guys listening, we're talking about doing this between now and the end of the year.
Yep.
And then any development things that you really want to focus on in that time frame. So that's one particular way that we do it at Microsoft. I found it really useful for conversation as well. So good to do independently, but then you have a really nice conversation with someone about that. Again, that could be a manager, or do this with a peer, like have a good conversation about your objectives. There's another model that Google use, which a lot of people talk about, the OKR model, and that's the objectives and key results model. So it has less of the conversational elements that I just talked about in terms of how Microsoft do it, and it more just focuses, gets really specific around what is my objective over the next 3 months, what is the key result that will come out of that. And there are lots of templates and models for that. So when we post this up on the website on amazingif.com under this podcast post, I will put some links to some of the templates that you can use, for example, for OKRs that might be useful. But that's just a couple of ways that you can look at objective setting. Have you got any others, Sarah, that you've used before in any companies? Or?
It's old school, but I'm a really big advocate of SMART.
Okay, yeah.
In terms of, so SMART is specific, measurable, action focus, realistic and timely. And it's just it's not a template in the way that an OKR is, but it's an approach to when you are setting objectives, just make sure you're not being kind of too woolly. Mm. I actually think objective setting, really setting brilliant objectives, is hard.
Mm.
And my experience, which might be useful to share, of setting objectives in my new role, was that I kind of wrote them the first time, and then actually I almost keep them open permanently, and I've gone in and refined them and made them better, made them more specific, more meaningful, because otherwise they can be quite generic statements. And it really encourages you to, I think, a bit more about the results, about the specific impact, which is why OKRs are often quite useful. They use a lot in startups. I think kind of technology and startups particularly like OKRs, because they're very much about, you know, like agile working, yeah, sprints, you know, delivering stuff in quite short periods of time. And I think the people I know who use OKR say they're really good at focusing teams to make sure everyone's pulling in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think definitely look at those. And, you know, some organisations, I think we've both worked in very big organisations that have often like processes for these. Some organisations don't have processes for setting objectives, or that might not be kind of the terminology that you use. But there is nothing stopping you talking in whichever way feels kind of right for you and your organisation to your manager just about your priorities.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your priorities between now and the end of the year? How are you going to do that? What will success look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do it in a really informal way. This doesn't need to be a template and a process, but just, I think, knowing what you want to achieve now in the next sort of 3 and a bit months, it can make a really big difference. So that's number one, set your objectives to the end of the year.
I want to hear you do it. On to number two.
On to number two. I think it's like in at number two. That's what I'm going to say, like in at number two. Last week we talked a lot about spending time, how many hours we should all work. And one of the things I think when you are resetting and taking that moment to reflect is just to think about what's the one thing that you want to do differently in terms of your time. Often, I think when we go on holiday, have a break, you really reflect on, you know, what you're doing at work, what's right, what's not working, what you want to do more of. And a bit like New Year's resolutions, you know it all, but then you don't really end up doing anything different because habits are really hard to break. You know, it's funny, isn't it? You have the first day back from holiday and you feel really like,
everything's going to be different.
I'm so zen. This is all going to be different.
Oh.
And usually by day two, you're like, and it's all the same again.
I was listening to this really interesting podcast this morning about the psychological power of a vacation. And it said that...
Presumably it was American.
No, it's an English podcast. Vacation. Is it American? No, maybe it's an American podcast. You're right. It's an American podcast. But the research that had been done, actually, I thought about you because it said that it's not the length of the vacation doesn't make a difference to how, like, you know, refreshed you feel, basically. Yeah. And they're saying it's actually a lot better to have shorter, frequent
vacation.
I know, that's why I thought about you. But they said about the, I don't know, the rosiness of the vacation, like the benefit of the vacation. I think it wears off within 2 weeks. It's gone. So that's nice. What I'm saying. It's better to have more frequent vacations. So yeah, if you're back from your holiday today, in 2 weeks' time, you might not be feeling so perky. But...
So I think the point we want to make here is between September and Christmas, think about one thing you want to do differently with your time. And I actually did this a couple of weeks ago and I talked about it on the podcast around playing netball again. And I've been really like specific with how many netball games I'm going to play between now and Christmas to make sure that I really prioritise it. Like, don't let other things get in the way and that I don't say, you know, don't say yes to things, which then mean I couldn't play. So I've sort of made just a real commitment to myself and I've sort of shared it with lots of people. So everyone kind of knows it's really important to me. And that's it. That's just like the one thing I'm going to do differently. But already after two games, so I played my second game last night, a winning game, in case people are keeping track on Instagram. Because of the first game I played back, we lost and I was like, oh no. So it feels nice to have a win under the belt. I've had quite a frantic week. There's been a lot of stuff happening and it would have been really easy to not play netball last night because we got more than enough players. I could have just gone home and done even more work. And today I've got so much more energy and a few bruises, it has to be said, having fell over as a result of just spending like an hour doing some exercise and doing something a bit different with some different people. So it's already having a really positive impact on my mental well-being, as well as I'm probably a tiny bit fitter than I was 2 weeks ago.
And for me, another action that you can take in terms of thinking about how you spend your time and do you want to do it differently is to do a bit of a time audit. We have done a blog on this. It's a while ago since I wrote it, but I'll link to it under the podcast on amazingif.com. But the way that you do a time audit is you look at kind of how much time you've got in your week. It's useful to break it down by hours, so how many hours a day you're awake, and even into half hours if you want to really get into the analytics of it. And you look at how you're spending that time. So categorize it. So for example, my categories might be sleeping, eating, in meetings, commuting, learning, relaxing. They might be the categories for my time, and look at how many hours in a week you're spending against those categories. Now, there isn't actually a right or wrong answer, but it's what you're happy with. So for example, if I think, actually, do you know what, I want to spend some of my working week learning, or I want to spend a portion, 10% of my working week, I want to spend relaxing, it's not until I do that audit that I can actually see, is how I'm spending my time actually how I'm spending my time reflective of how I want to spend my time? And it's just a very useful exercise to do. I would look at the last 2 weeks, maybe even the last 4 weeks, and just see what trends have you got. I mean, if you're spending, I don't know, if you're spending 60% of your time in meetings, for example, is that actually what you want? Or do you maybe need to make some adjustments over the next couple of months so you could trial a slightly different way of working and create yourself some more time to do the other categories of things that are important to you? So yeah, I'll post to the blog where we talk about it a little bit more. There's also another blog, if I can find it, an article where someone visualises it in a really, really nice way. And it's just, if you're a visual thinker, that also helps as well, for just thinking about your time. I've done it in a spreadsheet before.
So Helen, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's the one thing you're going to do differently between September and Christmas?
I'd like to read a little bit more. I feel like I've really dropped that. And for me, reading is, I don't know, it's just an important way of learning. I'm doing some coaching qualification stuff at the moment, and there's reading I want to do around that I've not done as well. I've got a brilliant book sat on my desk called The Future of Work that I really want to get into. So I am going to commit more time to reading. I very specifically would like to do like half an hour a day in the morning, in the week. So I get up early in the morning, so much to Sarah's mockery most of the time. And a lot of the time I kind of, I don't know, I go through my email, I look at my day. I do journaling, so I do some stuff that I find quite productive. But I do think, oh, actually, do you know what? I could use half an hour of that to read. And then in a week, that's completely created me some time that I sort of already have, but I'm just not using for that purpose. And I think it would just make me feel like I've got a few more ideas, a few more insights. It'd be good for Instagram stories. I would just feel like that was a good start to my day. So that's specifically what I'm going to do, Sarah.
So maybe you can give us a pricey of that book.
Gosh, she's put me on the spot.
In a few weeks, okay. On the podcast.
Okay, The Future of Work,
like, it'll be
review.
Interesting to all of our listeners.
Okay, I'll do that in the intro in a couple of weeks. The Future of Work book review.
Yeah, by the end of September. There you go.
Done, thanks
specific.
For that.
Going back to my first point. Everything
smart.
Links, you see. In at number three, our next piece of advice is spend some time between September and Christmas regularly investing in yourself and your learning and development, and think about practically what's the best way to do that. And I think sometimes when you're thinking about, you know, what you need to learn, it is something that becomes bottom of your to-do list. You know it's important and you really want to do it. It's just hard to find the time. And a few things I'd encourage you to do as you're starting to think about investing in your learning: work out how you learn the best. Like, what learning gets you most motivated? So Helen just talked about, oh, you know, she really values and loves learning through reading. Some people really like to watch videos. Some people really like learning with other people. So don't make life hard for yourself. If you like learning with other people and you like being in that kind of sociable environment, try and work out if there's courses, even if they're online courses, but that you can do that are part of a community. Because sometimes being part of something is a really compelling way to learn. That works really well for some people. Other people, less so. They like to work in lots of different ways. The one thing I always ask myself and often ask people kind of in interviews is, what's sort of the last random act of curiosity that you did? And that random act of curiosity could be just watching a TED talk about a topic you don't know anything about. It could be just meeting someone from a completely different industry or sphere that you just are unfamiliar with. It might be going to an event that you just think sounds fascinating, but is actually quite far away from maybe the world that you work in. And I've done this quite regularly over the last couple of years, and I'm continually surprised how often these very random acts of curiosity also end up being really useful and seeping into your day job. So a couple of examples of ones that I've done, there's probably three that are really useful. One, I went to something called Lost Lectures, which has actually just come back again, which is sort of like a curated curiosity event, a bit like TED, where they have a theme and there's lots of different speakers, musicians, and artists there. So that's always brilliant.
It is a bit like a circus.
It's kind of that kind of vibe. The second is I subscribe to a magazine service called Stack, where they send you a different magazine every month. And sometimes I do find it hard to find time to read those magazines. And then actually I break myself because I have quite a long train journey every day. There is actually no excuse for me not reading those magazines. Mm-hmm. And the one this month is about dogs. I don't have a dog. Though my son's first word was dog. Dog. That's like the one thing he can say.
Maybe he could have types of dogs. Exactly. The Dachshund or the...
But do you know what? I took the time this week to actually read it, and it's got beautiful photography in. It's got a really good article about the Isle of Dogs, which is a latest Wes Anderson film, which I loved, and he's one of my kind of favourite directors. So that was really interesting. So that was a really good thing. And then the third thing that I always find kind of really useful is asking someone to recommend someone who they think you should meet, if that makes sense. So someone who you feel is quite maybe really well networked, or someone who you just find interesting. Say to them, you know, I'm just really interested in learning about this or that. Is there anyone that you could introduce me to who you think would be really brilliant in that area? And that could start to be quite specific in terms of something you want to develop. So it might be, you just think you'd like to learn more about, you know, women in leadership, or you think you'd like to learn more about gravitas and what that means within the workplace. Asking someone, like, where would you start with that topic? It's basically asking someone for a bit of help can be really useful in terms of just starting you down a kind of new path of curiosity.
And my two tips are, the first one is to put this in your diary, and don't just put, oh, on a Friday, last Friday of the month, I'm going to spend half an hour investing in myself. Do that, but also be very specific about the thing you're going to do. And if you can, book it or register for that course or tell somebody about it. So kind of go one step forward in sort of plotting the time in your diary, but allocating what you're going to do specifically about it, and get yourself excited about it. I think then that makes you more likely to do it.
It should be
really fun, and it's so easy just to put, I've done it before in my career, where I've just gone, oh, once a month on a Friday afternoon I'm going to do this, I'm going to put some development time in, and it's so easy to just overwrite that. But it's much better if you've booked the thing and you've told people about it. It just seems to stick in your diary more. And my second point is around on investing in yourself. Sarah's talked very much about going and doing something, going and learning something, going and meeting somebody, which is all brilliant. But also investing in yourself could also be very specifically going to do nothing. Maybe it's about just doing some like meditation or some reflection. Or for me, I've got on October the 5th, I'm taking a whole day of doing nothing. I'm going to somewhere where I am going to relax, reflect. It doesn't even have a phone signal, so I can't take any calls.
The idea of you going somewhere without a phone signal really makes me smile. I cannot wait for you to have a day without your phone.
I think it It may have Wi-Fi, I don't know, but I'm actually going to leave my phone. It's like 10 till 4 and I'm just going to leave
this
my phone.
This be the first day this year that you wouldn't have had your phone with you for that period of time.
Yeah, do you know what? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. I never don't have my phone. It'd be weird. That could be another thing you could check on me. You can check up on me. Have I read The Future of Work and did I not
have,
not
a day
have my
phone?
Like 10 till, when I say a day, 10 till 4, 6 hours, it's quite a stretch for me. But I think investing in yourself sounds so like add another thing, which, you know, add another thing to if you're already doing things, which can be really positive, but don't forget as well it maybe might be about taking something away that is consuming time, energy, or just giving yourself a bit of space to reflect.
Brilliant. So let's move on to the next one. So in at number 4, spend some time making sure you've got a network that is really supporting you with your career and your development. So often I think we all fall into a trap where we might build brilliant relationships with the people we work with, some people within our industries, but those networks can sometimes be quite similar to ourselves. There's a real tendency, you know, for us to want to and enjoy spending time with people who are a bit like us. And a bit, you know, related to the previous point about curiosity, you want a diverse network of different styles and types of people who can help you with your learning, your development, whether that's very specific to the kind of technical discipline you're in, whether that's just more broadly helping you with exploring options for your kind of career in the future. And I think just pausing for a moment and thinking about, you know, how diverse is my network? If you were to just ask yourself that question, and what gaps have you currently got, and how could you just start to address some of those gaps between now and Christmas? Because you'll already have some brilliant relationships, so just be careful that you're not over investing in those, and that you are also spending a bit of time on kind of new people and exploring new areas.
And on that, I think there's a useful, I don't know if it's a framework, but it's basically three words that I find quite useful for a prompt, though I always think a little bit cringy when I say it. So it's seed, feed and weed. And the seed element of this is to think about new relationships you might want to start. So right at the beginning, in at one, we talked about objectives and your key results. Perhaps there's a new relationship that you could build that might help you in achieving those. So that would be a kind of a relationship you might want to seed. Could you reach out to them? Always give first as well. So could you give them your time? Could you help them with some knowledge that you've got? Could you share an article you think is interesting? But just think about how you seed that new relationship. The second is to feed. So this is an existing person in your network that you might want to sort of just invest in that relationship a little bit more. Could you go out for a coffee with them? Could you understand what challenges that they're having at the moment? It's always a really good way of thinking about how you can help somebody, what problems that they're trying to solve, and have you got skills or knowledge or contacts that can help them. And the third one, which is really the cringy one, is to weed. And that always sounds really harsh. And that's not about saying to somebody, you were in my network, but I no longer want you in there.
Devastating. If someone comes up and says that, like, yeah, no thanks.
That'd be really harsh. You'd never ever want that person in your network ever. But the weed thing is just to reflect on where you're spending your time. It's a bit that Sarah just touched on. It might be that somebody, you're spending quite a lot of time with somebody in your network at the moment. And actually what you need to do to seed and feed a new relationship is to spend a bit less time on there. So it might be, for example, maybe I have been mentoring somebody every month for the past 3 or 4 months. I might need to tell them that I just need to take a little pause because I need to invest in some, I might not say new relationships, but I need to invest in some new activity for the next couple of months. But just have a look at who you're spending the most time with. And it's very likely that in order to spend some time with new people, you are going to have to spend less time with somebody else, and just be really conscious about who that person is and why that is. And it doesn't mean you're kicking them out for good, it just means you're thinking about where's the most impactful place I can spend my time with people in my network over the next 3 months in support of my objectives.
And I think, I know that for some people, you'll be listening to this, and if you're anything like me, maybe like a touch more kind of introverted, networking is not something you ever really want to spend your time on. You know, you want to be ideally by yourself, which is pretty
at
much,
home with a cup of tea.
Yeah, that is always pretty much my ideal scenario. And so you know it's important, but you don't really want to do it. And maybe you're not kind of even quite sure where to start. My suggestion is, don't forget you don't have to do this by yourself. And so, you know, you can do this. You might have someone at work who also wants to spend a bit of time investing in their network. So maybe it might be something that you do together. Or it might be, you know, think about the environments where you feel most comfortable building relationships. Is it one-to-one? Is it big groups? You know, is it certain styles of events? So don't feel like this has to mean you have to do something that you know, really are not going to enjoy or doesn't feel kind of right for you. Always start with the areas where you feel most comfortable, most confident. And if it does feel a little bit scary, I always say, you don't need to apologise for doing this with someone else or with a group of people, that's absolutely fine.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So last but not least, and this is maybe the toughest one, but kind of in at number 5, take the time to really invest in the things that you never do, that you know you should for your career, but that you never take the time to do. And just try and do one of these between September and December. So we've come up with some of the things that we think are always on everyone's list, but you never really get around to doing. So my top ones were updating your CV before you need to. Like, when do you ever update your CV when you're not actually going for a job?
And don't do that because you think you're going to go for a job. Just do it because actually just it helps you to focus on what you have achieved, kind of what's been important to you, so that you can reflect on your successes a little bit more. It helps in development conversations as well because it's just top of mind.
Yeah, well, I think probably linked to the CV one is your LinkedIn profile. It's probably, if anything, the one I hear more often now because LinkedIn is becoming even more popular. So people are always like, oh yeah, I know I need to update my CV as I go, not just when I'm going for a job. And the same with LinkedIn, because you definitely see some profiles that were updated just as they're clearly about to look for a new job. And just LinkedIn profile, even if it's small stuff like, have you got a half decent picture on there?
Yeah.
Have you written a good summary? Have you made sure that your experience is up to date and, you know, your previous, any career like qualifications or those kind of things? Even if you're just going, I just want to get it so that it's basically correct. I think that's a really good step forward. You know, you don't need to invest loads of time in a LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, and I think do a bit of stalking as well. Have a look at some people's LinkedIn profiles that you think are really good and just, you know what, just build on that kind of thing. Look at their approach and then and think about your phraseology and your wording that brings it to life for you. Third one then is to record your successes. So in the same kind of vein as updating your CV, have a think, maybe every month, just think about 3 things that you feel really proud of that you've achieved that month. That is really useful for development conversations because it's top of mind, but it also gets you into a habit of thinking about what you've done that's good. And back to that kind of busy thing, when we're really busy sometimes, we miss that. We're always moving on to the next thing, and recording your successes is actually a really good thing for your confidence as well. So that is a great habit to build, and it is literally just a case of maybe every week or every month, depending on how much time you want to put to this, just writing down 3 things that you're really proud of that you've achieved or feel like you've been successful in that month.
And another one that I think everyone knows they should do, but it's sometimes harder to do, particularly if you've not got a structure in place that forces you to do it, is asking for feedback. So the amount of development conversations I have with people, one of the questions I will always ask is, oh, you know, have you got some feedback about that? When was the last time you asked for some feedback? And you can tell that people go, oh, it's sort of, I know that would be useful, but, you know, sometimes people are not really good at giving feedback. So people have not necessarily always had good experiences with that, or you're just not quite sure how to ask. And actually, you know, we use the example at the start of the podcast. What went well, even better if, is a really useful way of asking for very quick feedback. I sometimes think that people get kind of concerned that feedback needs to be this, it's a really big deal, it's got to be really lengthy. I just think some of the best feedback I've ever had has often been really in the moment, very specific, short and concise, almost like, you know, just after a meeting or just after a presentation. Somebody really recently said to me, we'd done a big presentation and it was, I think the email was less than a line long. It was probably like half a sentence. And it was just like, Sarah, that was great. I thought you were really compelling. And it was just a tiny bit more than just going, that was great.
Yeah.
It was kind of going, this is sort of what I thought was great about that. And it was very small. I mean, A, it was a useful kind of motivating sentiment, but it was also, gave me some insight into what was good about that.
And I think another one, so Sarah talked about what went well, even better if. When have you seen me at my best? That's a great one for some strengths-based feedback. And also another one is, what's your perspective on how I did? And you can add whatever you want on, in that meeting, presentation. But perspective is a nice, it basically means feedback, but feedback has so many connotations for people. So perspective is just asking for their opinion on it, which is useful to you. So I think a lot of people are a bit... I don't know, I feel like they're a bit framed by the company process of the annual 360 and that being the feedback thing. And this is just about changing your perspective on what feedback is. I'm just asking for it regularly, just kind of little bits of feedback that can help you to get a bit more self-aware.
And sometimes even teeing people up when you know those moments are coming.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you're working on something, I remember once asking my boss at Sainsbury's for feedback about a presentation I was about to do, that she was going to be in the audience. I already knew the content was right, so I knew what I was going to say was right, but I was interested in my style of presenting. And I just sort of said to her, you know, I present quite a lot, you know, I present quite a lot with Amazing If, and when we're doing kind of training, I really want to make sure that I'm compelling and what I say makes sense. Can you just give me anything specific where you feel I could be even better at presenting?
Yeah.
So I started from the perspective of being quite self-aware, knowing that it was something I was already quite good at and wanting to get even better. And then she could just give me straight away as I walked out the door, two or three things that just meant I could just improve my presentation style with tiny tweaks that I would never have known unless I'd done that really cringy thing that's actually useful where you film yourself and then work it out for yourself.
Yeah.
So don't, you know, we're not suggesting with this you try and do all of those things, but I am there'll be something about you and your career that's probably a relatively simple thing to do, but you put off because you just think, oh, I can't be bothered. I've not got the time. I know I should, but I don't really want to. Try and pick one of those things and just think, imagine how good you'll feel by Christmas when you're listening to our podcast in December and we've all got that kind of nice Christmassy vibe.
We should do the annual review podcast.
Yeah, we should make sure that we come back to this at the end of December. How good you'll feel if you're one of the people listening and you've done that one, you've got that one annoying thing off your list, because once it's done with a lot of these things, it then becomes a habit or it just becomes a bit easier.
So hopefully that's helped. You can kind of just kickstart with a few actionable things for the kind of towards the end of the year. We've still got quite a few months to go, but hopefully that could help you. So next week, we're excited. We're going to be doing a podcast all about growth mindset, which is...
We are excited.
You know, we talk about it all the time. And we're like, have we ever actually done a podcast on growth mindset? So we're not just going to talk about what it is, because it's very easy. We could spend lots of time talking about how brilliant it is and how important it is, but we're actually going to get really actionable. So we're going to be looking at kind of fixed mindset and growth mindset, and where activities that you can do that can make you a bit more what we call spongy. So kind of just a bit more open in terms of how you're thinking, and also thinking about situations that might make you a bit more fixed. So if you want to hear a bit about growth mindset and how you can use it at work and make it an actionable thing and not just a business buzzword, then next week's podcast might be the one for you. And in terms of this week, thank you very much for listening. I hope you found it helpful. As ever, we love to get your feedback, so you can send that to us at getintouch@amazingif.com. If you've got any suggestions or if you just want to chat to us, we are there on social media. We are @amazing_if on Twitter, or if Instagram is your thing, you can find us there @amazingif. We do a daily careers tip as well on Instagram stories, which is something that I do every day. And we've got a lovely...
It's like you're getting a new little dig.
That's a little dig at Sarah that I will get. No, it's not at all.
But
it's just, if you're wondering
why
it's not both of us, it's just, it's very hard to coordinate Sarah and I to do everything together. So that's why Sarah will do it soon, I'm sure. She'll have her...
That's actually probably in my list of things that I know I should do, but I'm putting off.
That's very true.
That probably is my one.
Okay, before, okay, by the end of December, Sarah's got to have done an Instagram story. I've given her months to sort that out. but yeah, there's a lovely little community on there and you can almost have a little conversation with us there. So that's a nice place to be. And as ever, we would love it if you, if this is a podcast you're enjoying and you find it valuable, please do leave us a review because it helps us to share this with more people. And that's very much part of our mission is to reach as many people as possible to help them with the skills to succeed in their squiggly career. So I think that is it for this week. We'll leave it there and we'll be back next week with Growth Mindset.
Thanks very much for listening, everyone. Bye for now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.